National Gallery Podcast.
This is the National Gallery Podcast, and I'm Miranda Hinckley. We start with our autumn exhibition, Facing the Modern, the Portrait in Vienna 1900, and a passionate story of love, betrayal and death. Among the many glamorous images of Vienna's elite on display, Richard Gerstel's raw, naked self-portrait comes as a visceral shock. Many have seen its harsh colours and slashed paint as angst-ridden. It was painted in September 1908, soon after Gerstel's affair with Matilda, the wife of his great friend and avant-garde composer Arnold Schoenberg, was discovered, and just a few weeks before the artist took his own life. So is this a suicidal self-portrait? Cultural historian and Gerstel expert Raymond Koffer.
I think when he painted this, there were no thoughts of suicide. In fact, quite the contrary. I think that this is a painting that is slightly artificial in its concept, because he has elongated his legs and cut them off at the shin, which enables his sex to become the centre, which he deliberately paints dark. This is the thing that shocks people. More than that, his stance, where he stands slightly at an angle with his elbow crocked into his hip, is very provocative. And I believe that this is the painting of a man who was crowing about his sexual conquests of the wife of a man who he considered to be a father figure.
So if this isn't a suicidal portrait, what did provoke Gerstel to take his life at the age of 25?
It's really quite simple. I believe that Matilda returned to Gerstel and the affair continued. And she may have spent some nights with him before a concert that was due to take place on the 4th of November, organised by Schoenberg, of Schoenberg's students, which was by invitation only, and it was where his students, Berg, Webern and others, would premiere several of their works. Gerstel was excluded. The concert was at 3 o'clock. It is almost certain that Schoenberg, who probably could not face the dishonour of coming to this concert and sittings with his students without his wife, may have sent Webern to persuade her to return, and for the sake of the children, she did. I believe that Gerstel found himself excluded from the circle that he so enjoyed being part of, and was excluded from the concert, was excluded from his affair, and for a man who had faced rejection throughout his life, there and then decided to kill himself, and did so by standing on his stool in front of his beloved mirror and pushing a kitchen knife into his heart with a noose round his neck, and the stool fell away and he hung and stabbed himself.
That's such a great pity, because Gerstel, obviously, as this exhibition shows, and there are several Gerstel pictures in the show, was a phenomenal artist. And had he lived, we might have had a wonderful body of work, which we really would remember nowadays.
I would make the point that Gerstel is one of a number of artists, even up to the present day, including people like Nick Drake, Kurt Cobain, who had no idea of their own talent, but killed themselves without any reference to what they did as artists. And I think Gerstel fits into that class. And we can't really complain that he was more interested in his personal feelings than his artistic feelings, because that's something that goes through history, I'm afraid.
Raymond Koffer talking to Leah Caribbean. Facing the Modern, the Portrait in Vienna 1900, is sponsored by Credit Suisse and runs until early January. Tickets can be purchased from the gallery or online with a booking fee at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. And an audio guide written by Leah Caribbean and narrated by author Esther Freud, the great-granddaughter of famous Vienna resident Sigmund Freud, is also available. Recent years have seen a few new recruits to the curatorial team, and we're devoting the rest of this episode to introducing two of them. Letizia Treves joined to become head of the curatorial department and has a special interest in Italian and Spanish art. She took Cathy Fitzgerald to see an early 17th century work that's also a newcomer to the National Gallery, David contemplating the head of Goliath. The picture was painted by Orazio Gentileschi, a Pisan-born artist who befriended and was greatly influenced by Caravaggio in Rome. It's the only example on display in the gallery of a practice that was highly fashionable in Italy at that time, painting on stone. In this case, a dazzling blue lapis lazuli. It's also rather small, just 25 centimetres high by 19 across. But as Letizia explained, that doesn't stop it having an impact.
When you see it in reproduction, you think it's going to be life-size, and it's astonishing when you look at it in the flesh. It's such a small painting, yet it has such incredible war power. And I think that bright blue really intensifies the sort of drama of this scene. Normally, David is shown in the midst of the battle or decapitating, very violently decapitating Goliath. And yet here, Orazio has chosen a very quiet moment of contemplation. And this very emphatic juxtaposition of the stone in his left hand and the sword in his right really underlines the sort of virtuous image. You know, it's a young boy armed with a sling who's defeated a giant armed with a sword.
And it's painted on lapis, isn't it? Which is seems rather a luxurious background.
That's right. So lapis lazuli is a semi-precious stone that's mined today, as it was then, and also since antiquity in Badakhshan, the northeastern province of Afghanistan. But here, the extraordinary thing is, it's a very large piece of lapis made up of three pieces joined together. And despite the extraordinary expense, Orazio has chosen to paint over three quarters of the picture surface, but in the areas where he's painted over, for example, on the distant vista and on Goliath's head, he's letting that coolness show through. And you can see that sort of deathly pallor of Goliath's decapitated head. He's hidden the blood. We can't see the severed head, but he's certainly indicating the sort of onset of rigor mortis by letting the blue show through.
This work isn't actually part of the National Gallery's collection. It's actually on loan. And the fact that it's here and that we get to see it in London is largely because of you.
Yes, I mean, it comes from a private collection in the UK. And when I joined the gallery in April, it was really one of the first things that I did was I tried to get this picture in on loan. Orazio Gentileschi is a key figure in painting in Rome at the beginning of the 17th century. He knew Caravaggio personally. We know that because in a trial in 1603, we know Caravaggio was one of the witnesses, and he told the court that he admired Orazio's work.
Caravaggio was a fan.
He certainly was. And we know that Orazio also stood up in court and explained that he lent Caravaggio a Franciscan habit and a pair of wings, which one can't help but hope that they were the wings on the angels in Caravaggio's masterful paintings in San Luigi dei Francesi.
And to make this one of your very first priorities when you got here suggests that there was more than just a sort of academic curiosity.
Well, this picture was discovered in 2012. It was quite sensational, and it's still a picture that needs quite a lot of research because there's an old slate backing on it with an inscription, a 17th century inscription of a name and a number, which is probably relating to a 17th century inventory. So it's something that I'm really keen to work on and research while it's here.
Letizia Treves. You can find David contemplating the head of Goliath in room 37. And if you're interested in Orazio Gentileschi's work, do also head next door to room 32, where a second, much larger painting of his is on display, The Finding of Moses. And now to a picture that inspired a career. Caroline Campbell, the gallery's curator of Italian paintings before 1500, explains how a brief encounter with a National Gallery painting sparked a fascination that looks likely to last a lifetime.
I first came across Bellini's Agony in the Garden on a poster for a music concert when I was an undergraduate at university studying history. And it was a detail of the sleeping figures. And I was absolutely intrigued by these figures. I didn't know where they came from, the context, but the expressions on the face and the way in which the body was as expressive as the face itself made me completely interested. And I just wanted to find out more. I found out then that it came from this painting by Giovanni Bellini, an artist I'd never heard of, and it was a painting in the National Gallery, where I'd never visited because I grew up in Ireland. And I spent just a couple of years really just enjoying the image before I actually came to the gallery and saw the picture for the first time.
How did you find those figures fitting into the whole composition?
Well, the picture is a painting of Christ praying before the soldiers are about to come and pick him up and take him to Jerusalem for his tragic death. And I had not realised that these figures were just part of this large landscape. And I was frankly so blown away by the picture that I asked my tutors if I could start studying images and paintings, and they gradually introduced me to this strange thing called art history.
I don't suppose there can be any sort of reproducible formula for life-changing encounters like yours with Bellini, but I was wondering if there's anything you think you as a curator can do to encourage those moments to happen for visitors.
We really want to encourage people to look more than anything else. And I suppose it's really creating an environment where people don't feel there's one way of coming to a picture, or that there's a lot of knowledge you have to do that. All you need is yourself and the time, the 5 minutes to sit in front of something, and then maybe you will have a life-changing experience too.
Caroline Campbell and Leah Caribbean, talking about Bellini's Agony in the Garden in Room 62. If you're visiting the National Gallery this month, we're open 10 till 6 daily and till 9 on Fridays. Or you can get a closer look at all the paintings online at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Until next time, goodbye.